All right, we've given the 5 minute lag for people to actually show up. It's 8:49, not 9:49. There it is, 8:50 on the board. So I think we have quorum here. If I look over the crowd, I think we have quorum that we can proceed with the class for today, and we will we'll have wet meetings with pasta noodles later for those who are late. So feel free to join me after church. We'll be throwing spaghetti at people. So. Thank you guys for being here this morning. My name is Abe Smith. I think you all know that, but you might as well say that for the purpose of recording. Today, as I'm going to have you read Bible verses, and you will be, this is going to be an interactive deal where you're going to be reading. And I listened to our class last week on the recording, and it's really hard. The things we sometimes don't think of is that when you're talking to the teacher or you're having that interaction, none of that's captured on the microphone. So I have two lovely microphones here, and this is not just for you, but it's for the recording, okay? So we are going to be somewhat active, or I'll be moving around. I'm actually going to give this to Jeremy. Jeremy's going to have this half, and then I'll take, since all you row sitters, aisle sitters are here, you just want your own then?
I was just going to comment that maybe some of us preferred it the other way.
This is not about your preference. So it may have the desired effect of curtailing questions or commentary. I don't know. That's not the intended effect. That may be the secondary effect, though. So let's open in prayer, and we'll be underway this morning. Father, thank you for the chance to gather together today and come to worship you in a corporate setting. Father, may we, in the means of this corporate worship, continue to lay ourselves down, continue to see the need that we have of you and the sacrifice that Christ made. Help us to see that clearly. Help us to connect through that and to ensure that your word grows in our heart, that the truth that you've proclaimed in the Bible is truth that we can claim and then proclaim outside of these walls. Father, be with us this morning as we study prayer, as we talk about some basic tenets of prayer or some of the things we see in Scripture regarding prayer, and help us to open our minds, open our hearts as you have mine through this study. Open us up, refresh us, and help us to see the value of prayer and some of the things that your word teaches about prayer. Be with us now. In your son's name we pray. Amen. All right. So if you have not been with us, we are reviewing, going through in very quick manner, Christian Beliefs by Wayne Grudem. And this is the essential. I guess if you were doing a record, this would be the essential Christian beliefs. This is the distilled version of, I think it's about 65 pages in his giant tome of systematic theology, which is one of multiple theology books out there. So the big idea, and I know this seems super simplistic in this regard, but what is prayer? Well, prayer is our personal communication with God. And I think it's important that as Christians, this is one of the things that we have because of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we'll talk about all three of those, but specifically with the Spirit as believers, that we have tools and aids that help us, that we have a two-way interface with God, that we not only get to send prayers up, but through the Spirit and through Scripture, we can have messages come back from God. Okay? So as we think about prayer, or as you consider prayer, I want you, we're going to read through some verses here of what do we seek to accomplish in prayer? What are the things that you accomplish in prayer? And I'm just curious initially what, you know, without looking up these verses per se, and, you know, Morley already has started to crack his Bible open and to cheat ahead. But what are the things that you would hope to accomplish in prayer? And this, we're not going to pass the mic around, but what are the things that you would hope to accomplish in prayer? Big picture items. Guidance, okay. That might be one. Thanksgiving, okay? Offering thanks to God, okay? Might be one. Confession, a great opportunity for us to empty our unburden ourselves of our sins and confession to God. What might be some others? Exaltation, okay? Intercession or supplication might be another way to say that. Praise. The last one on here, no one's mentioned yet, and I'm not going to give you a ton more time to do that. Anyone want to take one last shot at what we seek to accomplish in prayer?
World domination.
Don't
give him the mind.
Government mind control. All right, now here's the interactive part. I need, who's going to look up Psalm 103? We're just going to chunk through these. Brian's going to be first. Mike, you're going to take the next one, Psalm 32:5. Who wants Philippians 4:6? Adam will. 1 Timothy 2:1. Corey will take that. And then John 8:47. Mike Luff will take that. Okay, Psalm 103:1. Mr. Brian.
Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name.
So the Bible explicitly tells us that one of the major themes here in prayer would be adoration or praise. Okay? Adoration, praise. And you guys hit kind of the four big ones here, but I think the acrostic acts, because I grew up in a church that, you know, everything was an acrostic, so we had to do everything via acrostic. But if you know acts, you're already halfway, you're four-fifths there. Mike.
I acknowledge my sin to thee, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and thou didst forgive my guilt of my sin.
Okay, so confession is another key piece of what prayer is intended to be. Philippians 4:6.
Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God.
Okay. Petitions and intercessions. Let's see. Corey, 1 Timothy 2:1.
I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone.
Okay. Additional. I think 4:6, either I misidentified or I didn't catch Adam's translation. Praise and thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is part of that. Mr. Luff.
He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason you do not hear them, because you are not of God.
Okay. So that's John 8:47. That's the one that was fresh to me, and I, you know, in terms of how I think about prayer or the purpose of prayer, we always think of what's coming out of us going up to God. We always think of adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication, offering up prayers for needs that are obvious. What I struggle in is listening to God back, is in that meditation an opportunity to have the Holy Spirit inform my heart. Okay? And so that, as I have gone through this, that has been and probably will continue to be one of the areas I need to improve in regards to prayer, is just the idea that the Holy Spirit will guide me in regards to those prayers. It is indeed a two-way street. Okay? Any comments or thoughts on what we seek to accomplish in prayer? Does that make sense, guys? Okay. We're going to shift gears into a different question. So why do we pray? Why do we pray? And I need four volunteers. Luke 11:13. No one's getting out of here without reading a verse today, because if you see, there's a long list, okay? So Luke 11:13, or excuse, Matthew 6:8 first. Matthew 6:8. 5:8. I got... Hang on before we go. Luke 11:13. Kay will take that. James 1:6-8. Tammy. Matthew 21:22. John, okay? Go ahead, Steve.
Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God.
Okay.
Luke 11:13. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?
Okay. So we seek to build trust in him. We seek to build trust in him.
James 1:6-8. But let him ask in faith without doubting, for the doubter is like the surging sea, driven and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. An indecisive man is unstable in all his ways.
Okay. So we build. What do we build out of that? John's got the next one, Jeremy. What does that show us? We build trust in Kay's verse. We build love for him through prayer.
John? Matthew 21:22. And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith.
Okay. That addresses our involvement in advancing the kingdom. We have a responsibility in prayer to seek out his will so we can advance the kingdom. I am going to read Matthew 6:8, and it is instructive just in the idea that we don't pray to get stuff. Okay, so Matthew 6:8. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Okay, so the Father is aware of our needs. And as children, we see children often pray of the Holy Father as Santa Claus or God as Santa Claus. We don't pray to get stuff. And it's a really basic idea, but I think in regards to prayer, it is a critical thing. Now, that doesn't stop us in asking, and as we unpack what makes effective prayer, or as we seek different things, and it may not stop us from interceding on someone's behalf, but we don't pray from a greedy standpoint.
I have that listed there.
So scripturally, how do we know prayer is effective? And so we're going to kind of build some of the case for that. We're going to take the first two, James 4:2 and Luke 11:9-10. Who wants James 4:2? Okay, Joel will take that, and then Luke 11:9-10. Jason, okay?
James 4:2. You want something, but you don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God.
Okay. So because we don't ask God, we don't have. So the takeaway from that may be that God's actions may change based on our prayers. Okay. We see prayer change God's action. Jason.
Luke 11:9-10. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be opened.
Okay, so we see that prayer changes God's action. And there's two additional verses for your own study and application there. So we see prayer change God's actions. Let's go back to... We're going to go to the second point. 1 Timothy 2:5. Anyone? Steve? He's probably got that on memory here. And John 14:6. Who wants to take that one? Mike, thank you. Go ahead, Steve.
For there is one God and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus.
Okay. So effective prayer is possible due to our mediator, who is Jesus Christ.
John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me.
So if we're talking about effective prayer, what does John 14:6 inform us? How are prayers effective? No. Through Christ. It's not through other God or other gods. So what's the implication for a non-believer in this? Your prayer is probably not going to be effective. prayers offered up not through Christ, or, you know, Christ knows his sheep, and if you're not one of his sheep, he may not hear in the same way, or the response may not be the same. So there is an implication for non-believers in prayer. Go on to this next point. John 14, 13 and 14. Need a couple more adventuresome souls. You're just recorded for all time and all posterity. And then Acts 3, 6. Dale, I'll come back to you for Acts 3, 6.
John 14, verses 13 to 14. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it.
Okay. So we should pray in Jesus' name. And then we'll look at Acts 3, 6. Yep.
But Peter said, I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Nazarene, walk.
Okay, so we see prayers offered in from the apostles with Jesus' authorization, or his kind of signature or stamp as being that prayer was authorized by him, so to speak. And let's see, did I have John, First John 5:14-15. First John 5:14-15. We're going to get Jeremy's side involved here in a little bit more, so be thinking. First John 5:14-15.
This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him.
Okay. So we should be praying in consistency with his character. Okay? If we pray for things that are not in his character, you're going to be disappointed. Okay? So we have to be praying in accordance with his character. So should we pray in, we should pray in Jesus' name. We see that in Scripture twice. We see the apostles offer prayers made on his authorization. And we see praying, we should be praying consistent with his character. Mike.
The idea of praying in Jesus' name is not just a catch phrase that you say at the end of the prayer so that the slot machine arm has been pulled. You know, it goes back to what you said there at the end. Are we consistent with the will of the Lord in our prayers? That idea being in Jesus' name. Because I think sometimes we pray this whole long list of once, and then we say, in Jesus' name, now it's a lock.
We've put the wax seal of in Jesus' name, amen.
This is kind of related, but I saw an illustration of this that was very helpful a long time ago. That the pastor brought up a couple of kids, and he had a table with things on it, and he said, you know, ask and it'll be given to you, and he kind of motioned his arm towards the table, and the kids would ask for things off the table, and he'd give it to them, and like the third kid said, well, I want a Nintendo 64, because this was like in 2000, and
timely reference.
And he just repeated himself, you know, ask whatever you want, but he's motioning to the table, and I just thought that was very helpful illustration of the implications or the implied conditions of prayer, that there are certain things, as you're saying, have to be consistent with God's character in Jesus' name.
Okay. Now, in our prayer life, I don't think that necessarily stops us. You know, if you're in pain, you're working through a situation, I don't think you should necessarily put a cap on all those prayers. But you should not have the expectation that if your requests, as you're trying to work things out in regards to working through a situation, it's okay to ask those questions to God in prayer. But understand that he's not going to respond in a way inconsistent with his character ultimately. So pour your heart out to him. Don't be afraid to pour your heart out to him. But understand, when Christ talks back to you, and as the Holy Spirit informs that, you're not going to see inconsistency of that character. Okay? All right, we're going to get this side involved. You guys better, Jeremy's got to get up on his feet here. So, Matthew 6, 9, Mr. Luff. I want to look at Acts 7:59. Roger? And we'll look at 1 Corinthians 16:22. John has that one. Thank you, guys. All right, let's start with those.
Matthew 6, 9. Pray then in this way, Our Father who art in heaven, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name.
Okay, so we see in Scripture, we see praying to God directly.
Acts 7:59. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.
So we see in Scripture, we see people praying to Jesus, or we see Stephen in this case specifically. How about Paul, John?
1 Corinthians 16:22. If anyone has no love for the Lord, let him be accursed. Our Lord, come.
Okay. So we see Paul praying to the Lord. Hebrews 4:15-16. We can come back to this side now if you want. Haley?
Hebrews 4:15-16. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who, in every respect, has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
Okay. So talking about our advocate, or our, that throne of grace, Christ as our mediator, being able to confidently approach him. John 14:16-17. John 14:16-17. This is why I love this class. I make you guys do all the hard work. Miss Tammy's going to read that. And and could you read 26 as well then?
Yep. John 14:16-17. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. Verse 17. He is the Spirit of truth. The world is unable to receive him because it doesn't know him. I'm sorry, doesn't see him or know him. But you do know him because he remains with you and will be in you.
Okay, let's stop right there. So the Spirit is personal to us. He can be our counselor or our comforter, we see in 16. And then in 17, that he is known to us. That the Holy Spirit is not something, it's not something out there that's beyond our comprehension. It's not some vague, you know, apparition in the night, but indeed from John that it is known to us. And you see, you have 26 there as well. Verse 26
of chapter 14. But the counselor, the Holy Spirit, the Father will send him in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have told you.
Okay. So the 26 there, we see the Spirit being teacher as well. Okay. So we can pray to God. We see in Scripture we can pray to Jesus, and we can pray to the Spirit as well. And the Spirit, we also see in 1 Corinthians 12, the Spirit does give gifts, which I think we're all familiar with that Scripture. Okay. So what's the role of the Holy Spirit in prayer? Romans 8:26-27. Romans 8:26-27, and someone else, Ephesians 6:18. Ephesians 6:18. Who's going to take that one? Mr. Luff will take that one. All right. Go ahead, Josh.
Romans 8:26. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should.
But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words.
27, yes. Okay.
And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God.
Okay. So out of that, we see that the Holy Spirit takes part with us in prayer, that we're not alone in prayer, and the Holy Spirit makes our prayers effective. Go ahead, Mike.
Ephesians 6:18, with all prayer and petition prayer at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints.
Okay, so we can dwell consciously in the presence of the Spirit. Scripture tells us we should pray when? At all times. We pray at all times. So as we can shape our heart, mold our heart to where we are in the presence of the Spirit, that makes that not just a one-time meeting once a day or once a week, but as we cultivate that Spirit in our lives, that we are in a state of prayer throughout the day. Questions or comments? All right. So what makes prayer effective? What are the parts of an effective, what elements are part of effective prayer, if I can read my own typing? A couple of different things. So there's a laundry list here, but we see through Scripture, all these are demonstrated, and many of them, you got to fill in the blanks on a lot of them, so you don't know what they all are at this point in time. So, what makes prayer effective? We've already read 1 John 5:14 and 15, I believe. Okay, we did. Okay, Matthew 6:10 and Matthew 26:39. Two volunteers. Matthew 6:10 and Matthew 26:39. Roger's got one.
Matthew 6:10. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Okay, your kingdom come, your will be done. Again, we're seeing that prayer according to God's will. Okay, that as elements of effective prayer, we can offer prayer if you want it to be effective. We need to pray according to His will. That's hard, especially when we're struggling, and sometimes His will is not what we are aligned with. And we may need to pray for God to move our hearts to His will. That's, at a base level, that's another core struggle that I have, is I wants what I wants, how I wants it, and when's I wants it. So when I don't get those things, or those things, I see separation in that, my heart needs to move where God's will is moving. And I find that to be a very, it goes right to the core of the sovereignty of God. Who's in control? God's in control. If God doesn't do what I want Him to do, if God's not my Santa Claus in regarding an issue in my life, if I don't get what I want, does that change the nature of God? Does that change His will? No. Doesn't change His will. We see God respond, we see God act, but His nature, His core, does not shift just because I want. Okay? Matthew 26:39, did we get someone else to read that? Mr. Steve?
And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will.
Okay, so we have Christ here praying in accordance with God's will. Not what I want, but what you want. John 15:7, and we'll chamber up James 1:5-8. Adam, and who's going to take our second one? Come on, James 1:5-8. Luke's got it. All right.
John 15:7. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want and it will be done for you.
Okay? So the point here is that my words in you, memorizing Scripture, helps us discern. So if you want to be an effective prayer, one of the things that may be a big benefit to you is laying the words of Christ or laying the words of God on your heart, hiding them in your heart. Luke.
James 1, 5 through 8. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways.
Okay. So wisdom is another key element of prayer. And if we need wisdom and we ask, what happens? He will deliver. Let's go to Psalm 27:14 and Psalm 130:5-6. 1, 2. We got Mike. Would you take 130:5-6?
27:14.
Yep.
Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord.
Psalm 130:5-6. Yes.
Psalm 130:5-6. I wait for the Lord. My soul does wait, and in His word do I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman for the morning. Indeed, more than the watchman for the morning.
Effective prayers. They wait. And we wait sometimes. And we wait. Why is that? His timing is perfect. Timing would be an appropriate answer. It keeps waiting, keeps us dependent on Him. Okay? Let's look up, let's read 2 Corinthians 12, 9 through 10, 9 and 10. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. Sometimes we're confused. If I had all the sticky tabs I needed to keep track of this lesson, I would be in severe problem. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient to you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest on me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." And this goes right to the core of what Steve was saying. Sometimes it's hard for us to discern God's will in certain issues. Sometimes when we don't have clarity, what we need to do is exactly that. Wait and see how God reveals Himself through these situations. Mark 11:24 and Hebrews 11:1. Anne has Mark 11:24, Hebrews 11:1. Corey?
Mark 11:24. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours.
Okay. So we need to pray with great faith. I have found myself in times past where I can sure pray, but I don't pray with expectation. I don't have faith regarding the things I'm praying for. That is not an effective prayer. Go ahead, Corey.
Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see.
Okay. So we have a settled assurance we have a great hope. And I always have kind of appreciated the idea that, you know, we see many people hope for a variety of things in life. And the worldly hope is different than a Christian hope. And I think it's important that we make sure that we're hoping and have faith in the right things. Some people would buy a lottery ticket on faith. Is that same faith what powers your belief? They're very, very different. One is a passive faith, that it's a passing fad, but an active faith, an active hope that is powered by that great anticipation of a hope, of a faith that will be fulfilled because of the promises based around Scripture, is far different than what you might buy on a lottery ticket. Okay. All right. So now we get into a little bit of the harder stuff. Effective prayers are equipped with obedience. So let's see how we have ruined this for ourselves in a variety of ways, or we can ruin our ongoing prayer life if we're not obedient. Psalm 66:18. Kaylee? Someone else, Proverbs 15:8. Jason? Go ahead, Kaylee.
Psalm 66:18. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened.
So if we have iniquity in our heart, does the Lord hear us? Kaylee just said it. No, he doesn't hear us. So when we have sin issues in our life, are we effective prayers? Yes or no? No. Okay. Jason.
Proverbs 15:8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight.
The prayer of the upright is his delight. Proverbs 28:9. And 1 Peter 3:12. Some of you don't want to read. I can see it. Okay. Go ahead, Tammy. Or Brian. Sorry.
If anyone turns a deaf ear to my instruction, even their prayers are detestable.
Okay. Your prayers are detestable? That doesn't sound like it's going to be a positive experience. Dale?
1 Peter 3:12. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil.
Okay. But there's good news in this. There is good news in that we are able to come to the throne because of the blood of Christ. We can be restored. We can, you know, Christ can hear our prayers, or God can hear our prayers if we repent. We change our hearts in that regard. I need someone to look up Ephesians 2:13, Mr. Luff. And we're going to look up at James 4, 3 and 4. Okay, go ahead, Mike.
Ephesians 2:13. But now in Jesus Christ, who you formerly were far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ.
Okay. 4, 3, and 4.
James 4, 3, and 4. You ask and don't receive because you ask with wrong motives so that you may spend it on your evil desires. Adulteresses, don't you know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? So whoever wants to be the world's friend becomes God's enemy.
Okay. If you're a friend of the world, you're God's enemy. But if you're a friend of God, you would see your... You'll see increased prayer effectiveness out of that. What else makes up effective elements of prayers? 1 John 1:9. Someone know that off the top of their head? 1 John 1:9. And James 5:16. Who wants to look that up? Okay, thank you.
1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Okay, so we want to have confession of sin as one of the elements of our prayer. He is faithful and just to forgive us.
James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much.
So we have assurance of forgiveness. in that. Okay. Any questions on these elements thus far? Take a minute. Yeah, John.
So this maybe is kind of a deep question for you, but my wife and I, we're wrestling through this. We were talking through this the other day. We have a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old, and teaching them how to pray. But they don't know Jesus as their Savior. So how do you train a little kid? And I don't know that I have the answer for this. Teach them how to pray. And we look at it, it's really cute to see the 3-year-old, the 4-year-old, the 5-year-old, and they can have faith. In our case, I don't think our daughter does yet. So how do we teach her to pray in Jesus' name if she doesn't have a relationship with Jesus yet? And that's kind of, I don't know if you have an answer for that. You have older kids, so I'm glad you're teaching this week.
That's a good question. So how do you teach a child to pray? And I would say very strongly that it starts with modeling that behavior. You have the relationship with Christ, so you're able to pray those things. I also think with children, we can still demonstrate, and we can still go through, take the acts that we talked about earlier. We can still see them express deep adoration for God in His creation. There's things attributes of God that they're already learning in Sunday school, or they're already seeing through the things that you talk with at home about them. I think there's a very powerful thing, even though children may not know Christ, in confession. Maybe you're not at that point yet, but trust me, as a father of 3 kids, the ability to have them unburden themselves in confession is a very powerful thing. And some of that may just be between you and your child, but you start to help them see that sin is an issue in their life. You have the opportunity to say, you have a sin issue. And the prayers of the non-believer are heard by Christ in this regard, because that is the Spirit stirring up the knowledge of Him to them. Okay, so I think confession is a great opportunity to start educating them in prayer and helping them see that they have a sin issue in their life ultimately, and that they are in need of a Savior. We have several adults that could stand to go through that same process as well. It's helping illustrate the failure of our inability to behave well and to behave up to a standard that would be passable to the Lord is something we have all failed in. So whether you're talking a small kid or even older child or even an adult, the same thing would be true with a non-believer, your question, John, of, how can a non-believer pray? They can pray, but it's likely not to be effective outside of those things that, God stirs in their heart and makes His knowledge of them known, or makes Himself known to them, and we see the spark of salvation in their life. But it's almost a similar question of how would a prayer be effective for salvation without the knowledge of Christ in that in-between zone? So, Thanksgiving, just going through those. Thanksgiving and supplication, I think those are both valid things for children to pray. And it's starting to build a pattern of behavior in their life.
I recently read a quote where someone said, regarding this issue, they said, I'm inclined to think that God hears whatever He wants to hear, which I think is kind of oversimplifying it and a little bit at odds with some of the scriptures we've read. But I think at the same time, there is an element of that in what you're saying, that when God is stirring up things in people, even in unbelievers or even us, if we are in sin and He's stirring us up in the right way, that he still hears us, obviously. I mean, he knows what we're praying, and whether or not He decides to act on it is a matter of His grace.
Yeah, and just because we see God change His actions in Scripture does not mean that he always changes his actions on our behalf. And I just underline that and circle that again.
In part of John's question, or in response to John's question, and connected to some of what you said, Abe, as we teach our kids to pray, we have a really neat opportunity to display the prayer of the gospel and connect some of the dots that we're trying to connect in other places too, because the same question could be asked, why do I discipline my kids? Why do I teach certain types of behaviors? Why do I catechize them from an early age? And it'll be irrelevant. If I catechize them, it'll be irrelevant if the Spirit of God doesn't regenerate their heart. And if I discipline them, eventually, you know, that'll be irrelevant if God doesn't move on that heart eventually. So prayer lands in that same category. It's another one of these means for us to display the gospel and connect those dots.
Okay. Any other questions or points to make? We'll keep rolling on this. Need Mark 11:25 and Ephesians 4:30. We'll take two of those. Mike will take Mark 11:25, Ephesians 4:30. Tammy's got that, or Mike Luff.
And whenever you stand praying, forgive if your brother if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you of your transgressions.
Mike Luff.
Ephesians 4:30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption.
Okay. So if I've got a grudge or I've got an issue with someone, at least my anecdotal experience, and I think this is true, of when I've got an issue with someone and I haven't forgiven them, my prayer life suffers immensely because my heart's not in the right place. My prayer life is not effective because I have not set down some of the wrongs against me. And that section, among the other two I point out, just very convicting to me of if I wonder why I'm having a dry spell in my prayer time, it's probably because my situation is I'm working to forgive someone through something. Okay? James 4:6 and Luke 18:11, or I guess you just have Luke 18:11 and 12, I believe. Luke 18:11 and 12. Tammy.
Luke 18:11 and 12. The Pharisee took his stand and was praying like this: God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, greedy, unrighteous, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of everything I get.
So what sort of spirit should we come to the Lord in? What's an effective element of prayer? Humility. Now, there's a little bit of a dichotomy of coming with confidence in this section of Scripture, you know, this verse regarding humility. And I think they're very different. We have great confidence in our mediator, Jesus Christ. We have confidence in that. In this verse here, we're seeing pride in our own accomplishments, or the things that we have done. So pride is inappropriate. So how do we pray? We mentioned 1 Thessalonians 5:17, which tells us to pray when? At all times. But we also see evidence in Luke 5:16 and 2 Corinthians 12:8 of some different aspects of prayer. Luke 5:16. Very fitting.
Luke 5:16. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray.
Okay. So we see long sessions of prayer, especially with Christ. 2 Corinthians 12:8. I'm actually right here, so I'll take that. 2 Corinthians 12:8. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So Paul had multiple sessions we don't always get, it's not a one and done. We see multiple iterations of these prayers. So whether it's continuing in a spirit of prayer at all times, or entering into long sessions of prayers, or praying multiple times over a specific thing. Hebrews 5:7.
Hebrews 5:7. During his earthly life, he offered prayers and appeals with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence.
Okay. So pray earnestly. Pour yourself out in that regard. Daniel 9:19. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, pay attention and act. Delay not for your own sake, O my God, because your city and your people are called by your name. We see sincere, earnest prayer demonstrated in Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament as well. So pray earnestly. Since I'm right here in Daniel, I'll read Daniel 6:10. And someone, Matthew 6:5-6. Mike. And then Acts 12:5. We'll look that up. Daniel 6:10. Daniel knew that the document had been signed. He went to his house where he had a window in his upper chamber open towards Jerusalem. He got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. Go ahead, Mike.
And when you pray, you are not to pray as the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in synagogues and on the street corners in order to be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you.
Okay, so what are we seeing patterned here? Praying in private. You got Acts 12:5, Mike?
Acts 12:5. So Peter was kept in the prison, but prayer for him was being made fervently by the church to God.
Okay. So we have, this is where this really shows itself as a discipline, that we need to be praying in private. That it's not just corporate prayer, it's not just prayer here at church or prayer as you gather together as a small group. But this really, in my mind, underlines that this is something that turns into a very personal discipline, ultimately. Matthew 18:19-20. Chapter 18, verses 19 and 20. We have our talkers and we have our non-talkers. I haven't beaten some of you into submission yet, and
I don't know.
We've got a couple verses left, so
I'm really shy there.
Yeah, I know you are. Matthew 18:19-20. All 3 chapters.
Again, I assure you, if 2 of you on earth agree about any matter that you pray for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where 2 or 3 are gathered together in my name, I am there among them.
So we are encouraged to pray with others. So we see patterning of praying by yourself or in private. We also see patterning of praying with others. Joel 2:12-13. I wasn't going to force that, but we did have Luke read Luke. We had John read Luke, though, too, so that neither here nor there.
Joel 2:12-13. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster.
Okay, so the one thing we're highlighting there would be fasting, as mentioned there, as an element of effective
front.
I think as a greater point, though, that verse with Joel is that heart rendering, that seeing people break down, their heart broken, that spirit in prayer is oftentimes needed. And this goes back to confession and being willing to pour ourselves out. If you want to be effective in prayer, fasting is an element, but ultimately what Christ wants, what God wants, is broken people that are willing to submit to Him. So we got six verses left here. So what do we do with unanswered prayer? You know, this has been, you know, I think we all have, you're familiar with the answers to prayer, you know, the yes, no, and wait. So we oftentimes will have prayers that hang out there. And some hang out for a very, 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 very long time. And so what do we do with that? And so we want to make sure we equip you with some scripture that would help inform that. So Romans 8:26, these are the last six. Romans 8:26, James 4:3. James, okay. James 1:6-8. You want both of those, Mike? Okay, let's start with those three.
Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words.
Okay, so we may have to let the Spirit intercede on our behalf. Sometimes it's just enough to put those thoughts out there to God, and just we may have to wait and let that continue to resonate. Mike.
James 4:3. You ask and you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives so that you may spend it on your pleasures.
Okay. So, again, sometimes unanswered prayer goes right back to where we started, which is you're asking for things that are not in His will. You may have to look at those things. James 1:6-8.
But he must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of a sea driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways.
If you don't have faith, if you're not rooted in Him, you're going to have lots of unanswered prayers. So you may have to examine your heart in that regard. Genesis 50:20. Romans 8:28. And 1 Peter 5:7. Three more volunteers. 1, 2, 3. Thank you, all three.
Genesis 50:20. You planned evil against me. God planned it for good to bring about the present result, the survival of many people. That was Joseph, by the way.
Okay. Is that part of the scripture too? No. Okay. God may have different plans than what we have. This goes right to the core of, you know, we need to pray in accordance with His will. We may not understand His will, but we may need to understand that God has different plans. Romans 8:28. Miss Hannah.
And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose.
So we can have peace as believers. We can have peace that God is bringing His will together perfectly.
1 Peter 5:7, casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you.
Okay, cast your cares on Him. That can be frustrating. It can be what we don't want to hear. That we need to be at peace or come to peace with those things, those anxieties that are bothering us. And it's okay for that to be a process. You know, those things don't happen necessarily immediately. God's will in your life may, just as we've been talking about here, in prayer, we may have a time where we wait, and we may have a time in our life where things are a little dry.
Can I read the verse before that?
Yes. Yes, you may. Do you feel I took it out of context?
Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you.
Fair enough. Okay. If you get the chance this week, I would just encourage you to look down through those questions, exploring your own prayer life, of what has maybe deterred you in prayer. That's one that I've got to answer for myself. And specifically then, am I willing to wait quietly on the Lord in these regards? And there's been different phases of my life I can see that, but that idea of surrender on those things is a really critical issue for me, of being willing to cast my cares on Him, to allow His perfect timing and perfect will to be in charge. Okay. We are at 9:51. I'm late now. So, any closing comments or closing thoughts?
Two verses that came to that we use today. One in Mark, asking if we ask anything in His name, we'll have it. Or ask anything, believe that you receive it and you'll have it. And then James' passage where we ask and doubt.
Right.
I think we need to be very careful and make sure that we take everything in context, because the faith movement uses those two verses to beat people over the head.
Yeah, and that's fair feedback of ask anything in faith and you will receive it. And then it can turn into a downhill slide of, well, you just didn't have enough faith. And I think as we kind of opened initially in some of the earlier segments, I think, you know, there's a way that we can understand and appreciate prayer in that regard, and I think we can push back against that mindset, especially in regards to some of the things we read as we closed here. Sometimes things aren't in His will. I think of a lady we knew in previous church in Wyoming, and she grew up in a more charismatic faith sort of church, and she was paralyzed from the waist down. And she had about 7 years of really tough church experience where people were encouraging her in that regard, and that you just don't have enough faith. You need to pray earnestly. And it's a big abuse. It really is. And so we need to be cognizant of that. And I think with Scripture, we can pare down and we can look at those things and help people understand in time and in with care that her healing might not have been according to His will. That may not have been His will for her life. And that's okay. Just because there's something that we want does not make it so.
It wasn't in God's will to heal Paul.
Yep. Paul wasn't healed with his... we talked about 2 Corinthians 9 or 12, where he has to be healed 3 times. So I think we can disabuse those notions relatively easily, but we do need to stand up against them. Correct. The total context of Scripture pushes hard against that, rejects it. Okay. Let's pray, and I'm now 3 minutes over time. So. Father, we thank you for this chance this morning to examine prayer, to really open up Scripture, and to just cover ourselves in Scripture this morning in this regard. Father, help us to understand the different phases of prayer, these different elements that make us effective prayers. Father, I ask you and pray for this group specifically that you stoke a fire of desire to pray and spend time with you in meditation and prayer, and that we develop and cultivate a spirit that is willing and ready to wait on the Lord in this regard. Father, we thank you for what you're doing through Cornerstone Berean. We pray for Kelly as you prepare him to preach today. Give him the words and the proper mindset and the heart to deliver a sermon this morning. And may you add your blessing to his sermon. In your son's name we pray. Amen.